Let us pray. Jesus, we want to experience, Lord, your touch this morning. We want to encounter your loving heart. Lord, we want to feel the very breath upon us, Lord. And we pray that you would speak to us now. Speak to us now. Amen. So the gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. And the scene is the disciples are in, they're in a room. It's a locked room. And the scripture says that they were afraid. And you know, sometimes to understand a scripture, we have to move away from it. Just like if we want to understand a problem in our life, we sometimes have to just step away and just get a different perspective. So what I'm trying to explain is why these disciples are afraid. So the story starts with just ordinary people like me and like you, just doing ordinary things, and in the ordinariness of their life, they encounter Jesus. Jesus calls them, and they respond, and they follow him. He calls them, they respond, and they follow him. So they begin this amazing life with Jesus. They give up their jobs. We're told, it says, they left their nets. And they start to witness what this Jesus does. And their journey begins by Jesus revealing just the great mysteries of God. These guys are just amazed at what they hear. They start seeing Jesus equipping them, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. They see Jesus empowering them with power they didn't have in their own right. They see Jesus' words in action. They see the authority of his words. They see Jesus healing the sick. They see Jesus bringing sight to the blind. They see Jesus bringing hearing to the deaf. They see Jesus releasing those who are imprisoned in their mind and in their bodies. They see these amazing things. They see that Jesus is the Savior, that he's the Son of God. They see themselves just being utterly transformed. Because just by being with Jesus, they see Jesus' compassion, they see his mercy, they see his kindness. They see Jesus responding to the prayers of the people. They see Jesus controlling the very forces of nature, calming the storms. And they see Jesus as the bread of life. They see Jesus as the light of the world. And they see Jesus as the good shepherd. They see everything about Jesus. Nothing does he withhold from them. So they have this rich experience and the enormity who this God is. And even more than that, they then start hearing the promises of God. Start hearing the promises of God. So the promise begins. Jesus says that, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. The scriptures say, I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you. The Spirit of Truth. I will not leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything. My peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The next promise, do not worry about what you've got to say, because when the Spirit comes, he will teach you everything to say at the right time and in the right place. Jesus offers the promise of eternal life. He says in the Gospel of John, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit. They're to be born again. Jesus promises that these disciples become his friends. They become his friends. Imagine that. Imagine this God who flung stars into the sky, raised the mountains, formed the earth, and he wants to be their friends. This majestic God, this sovereign God, wants to come alongside and be their friend and to be our friend. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will guide them. Jesus promises that these people, these ordinary people, will be the children of God. The scripture says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit searches all things. He knows the mind of Christ. Jesus then promises to make his dwelling in us. Imagine that. That this uncontainable God of the universe wants to make his dwelling in my heart and in your heart. Jesus then makes his promise that everybody is to be involved. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Of men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. There's this amazing experience these disciples have got. How wonderful Jesus is. How sharing this Jesus is, how kind he is, how promise-making he is. And then comes the crunch. And then comes the crunch. Jesus turns his eyes towards Jerusalem. One of the disciples betrays Jesus despite all what I've just said. Imagine. He betrays Jesus for his own selfish ambition. Division and conflict arise within the temple, within the disciples, within their own hearts. People question the credibility of Jesus. Jesus is arrested. Jesus is insulted. He's abused. He's tortured and he's beaten. The disciples run away. The Bible says that the shepherd is struck and the sheep scatter. Jesus is wrongly accused and he is murdered on the cross. Now we're back in that room. Now we're back in that room. The scripture says these people were afraid, but I think it just understates what's going on. Imagine their fear, thinking Jesus was just being killed. We're going to be next. Imagine the shame that they feel of just abandoning him in his moment of truth. They abandon him. Imagine the confusion. Imagine the guilt that they feel in their hearts. What have we done? All them promises, all those things we have seen, what have we done? I bet they were just devastated. And then the impossible happens. Jesus appears. You can smile. Jesus appears. Now, two things can happen here. Jesus can appear and he can go mental. He can say, where were you? Why did you abandon me in my time of need? I taught you everything and you let me down. Why did you do that? That's one thing he could do. But he doesn't. This is what he does. Jesus came and stood among them and he said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He showed them his hands and his side. Can you imagine how the disciples felt? I deserve to be destroyed by you and you bring me peace. See, in Jesus' response to them, he shows what we call the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ is always to restore. It's never to criticize. Despite all those shameful things, all those painful things, he understands our weaknesses. He understands our nature. His whole agenda is to restore the whole of creation back to himself. He meets the disciples where they are, despite their shame. And just picture the scene and picture your own hearts. Imagine the things that we do in private. The things that we think in private. And it's like sometimes we create our own cell and we hide away in this cell. And we can't get out. We can't get out because we're stuck in the guilt and we're stuck in the shame. And the amazing thing in this passage, it says the doors were locked and Jesus just comes in. How cool is that? How cool is that? That your locks and my locks are just nothing. But to a willing heart, to a repentant heart, Jesus just, he can just come in. He just comes in and occupies the center of our hearts. The second act of restoration is that he breathes on them. Now, breathing in the Bible is theologically massive. It's a massive issue. There's two other significant examples in the scriptures at the beginning in Genesis when the Lord created the world. He created man, he created woman. He did it by breathing. When he breathes life. So when you hear about breathing in the Bible, it's not like morning breath. You know morning breath? Has anybody experienced it? Has anybody received it? It's not nice, is it? As much as you love somebody, this is a whole different thing. When God breathes, he breathes life into us. There's another example in Ezekiel where there's this valley of dry bones and they're just looking at it saying, what, all these people are dead and there's just dryness and God breathes life into these bones and he breathes flesh on them and breathes new life. So Jesus now is following that example of when he breathes life into these guys who must have been devastated. He breathes life into them, and he describes that as the breathing of the Holy Spirit. So all those promises come to life again. All those good promises for you and for me come to life again. And this is the heart of evangelism. This is the heart of evangelism. The courses, how we teach people, those are the fruits of evangelism. That's how we do it. What I'm talking about today are the roots of evangelism. That our hearts have got to be rooted in that awareness of God's peace and promises for us that he is with us. He is for us. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we do it in his strength. The final act of restoration is in those beautiful words that Jesus says at the end of the passage. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And what Jesus is saying here is that, disciples, I know where you're at. I could come back and tell you off and it'd all be over. But he doesn't. Jesus' heart is to forgive everything that is locked in their heart and everything that is locked in your heart. And when, let me just rewind that. Everything is forgiven. Everything. And I'm going to stand here for the next 3 hours and say everything. Everything, everything. Is that all right, Mark? Everything. I'm not going home. Everything is forgiven. Everything. There is nothing that goes on inside our minds, inside our hearts, inside our bodies that cannot be forgiven. And my prayer right now is that you would not go home today until that thing you are holding in your heart is forgiven. That thing. Because when that thing is released, then this fire of God raises up and you will say, when's the next evangelism course? I've got to tell people. And you know what? You won't even wait for a course. Because it will change the culture of this church. And I want to be in a church where the culture is about sharing what God has done. Jesus said that we testify to what we have seen. You know, there's a... I'm completely gone off my sermon now, but there's a picture in the gospel where there's a guy who's blind for whatever reason. He can't see, and he's in a terrible place. Jesus comes to him and restores his sight. His testimony, people around him saying, who did that to you? Who is he? And he said, I don't know anything. I don't know anything, but this I know. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Nobody can take away your testimony. Nobody can take away your story. And if your fear is, oh, I can't go tell people because I don't know the Bible, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Jesus. It depends on his promises being fulfilled in us. Do we understand? Can I say amen? Can we say it again? Amen. It's so important, folks. It's so important. And you know what? Time is running out. Time is running out. And you know how I know that? Because of the colour of my beard. Time is running out. So, I ask you a question. Ask you a question. What is the thing in your heart that needs to be restored? What is the thing that God needs to breathe into you to restore your peace? What is the thing that needs to be forgiven? Because this is too important to delay things. It's too important not to get the stuff dealt with so we can move on. God has a mission to restore the whole of creation. And if we just hold on to our stuff, people are perishing. You just need to go out there. Do you know, we did a service this morning, and this lady, bless her, I broke my heart. She just said, it's so comforting in here, but when you go out there, it's awful. And it's just so true though, isn't it? It's lovely in here, isn't it? It's so comforting. You know, we love each other, we're encouraging each other, we want to build each other. But we go out the door and people are perishing. So our heart for evangelism is not based on knowledge. It's not based on skills. It's not based on our ability to talk. It's based on our response at what God has done to us. It's our response of what has been forgiven. The Bible says those who have been forgiven much love much. So this morning, just think about the enormity of what has been forgiven in your life. Let us be beacons in this community that we just cannot shut up about Jesus in a nice way. Okay? Let's just be quiet.